I'm going to read one verse from Hebrews 11, and really thank God for the writer to the Hebrews, who could precise in one verse what Moses wrote in nearly 3.5 chapters in Genesis in the life of Noah. And he says this, verse 7, "By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith." Now, we're starting a new series over the coming months that I am simply entitling RSVP. Now, you all know what this means, I am sure. It's from the French, "Respondez, s'il vous plaît." Okay, you're familiar with that, aren't you? If you need the English, you know what it is. Reply, if you please. And RSVP is put there, of course, in every invitation, because every invitation demands a response. It ought to have a reply. Being invited to something, let's be honest. You know, who here has been invited to something? Good, I'm glad there's nobody left out. I mean, when you're invited to something, is it not, above everything else, an indication that somebody wants you there? Somebody values your presence in being there? And that actually, you being at that event or evening or celebration will actually add something to the joy of the occasion. Isn't that much true? I think it is. That's why Oscar Wilde said, "Nothing annoys people so much as not receiving invitations." Now, personally, I'm always shocked when I get an invitation to anything. But apparently, it's not as big a shock as when I turn up and people are surprised to see me. But isn't it wonderful to be invited? And over the next couple of months, we're going to warmly invite each of you, myself included, to RSVP to a number of invitations that God gives us in His Word, the Bible. The thing about an invitation is that you can't force it upon anybody, can you? You can only share it. You can only offer it. You can only bring it and give it. But ultimately, what people do with it is up to them. And this morning, we've got just 5-6 minutes just to take you through what I'm calling, from the life of Noah, an invitation to certainty. It's born out of what God tells Noah in Genesis 7:1, where he says, "Come into the ark." Now, if you've got the NIV, you'll notice that the NIV doesn't say come, it says go. But pretty much every other translation of that text translates it the way that it reads in the Hebrew, not as a demand to go in, but as an invitation to come in to the ark. God is saying to Noah, come into my place of safety. Come into the provision of my supply. Come into the promise of my salvation. It's an invitation to certainty. God wants us to be secure in who we know in Him. And there's nothing better than being secure in an insecure world. There's nothing better than being certain when there's so much uncertainty around and about us. And so God gives this wonderful invitation to Noah, and through Noah to us. Noah, get on board with me, so that you can know without a shadow of a doubt that nothing coming into your life is anything that with me you can't endure. That nothing needing that is part of your life is something that I can't provide. And there's nothing pending in your life that you need ever fear. Don't we want to live with that certainty? Of course, the answer is yes, Sean, and thank you for your enthusiasm. Now, we often think only of Noah, and I did a talk when I first arrived here with the whole family in mind. We only ever think of Noah and his ark in terms of what God saved him from. But the ark was also the means for Noah to get to where and to get to what God saved him for. It's interesting that the ark itself was kind of coffin-like. You know, flat at the bottom, square at the sides, and made out of, well, if you've got the old version, gopher wood, because you have to go for that bit of wood, and go for that bit of wood, and go for that bit of wood. But the NIV says cypress. And of course, for the ancients, that's what you made coffins out of. So God invites Noah, you know, this wonderful sense of certainty, to get into death. Sounds beautiful, doesn't it? But only to get into death so that he can save him for life. And of course, within that is pictured for us the ark of our salvation, which of course is the Lord Jesus Christ, whom Paul says, this is a trustworthy saying, if we died with him, and we most certainly have, if we've eaten bread and taken the wine, because we identify ourselves with him in his death, then we will most certainly live with him. So I want you to get on board with God, because I want you to live in the certainty of all that it means to be on board with God. That's why I need to get on board with God in my marriage. Because outside of loving my wife the selfless and sacrificial way that Christ loved the church, I'm selling our relationship short. I think Kathy deserves more than that. That's why I need to get on board with God in terms of my giving. Because outside of honouring God with my money, I'm actually only ever going to end up robbing myself. Well, I might look stupid, but I hope I'm not that stupid. That's why I need to get on board with God in my fellowship and with each and every one of you, because outside of me turning up and being engaged here and committing myself to bring my gifts and ability and talents to bear upon the life of SBC, Shirley Baptist Church, I am limiting, if I do that, the very impact that we can have together as a fellowship in this community. And our vision and our heart here is SOS. We serve our Shirley, because we want to share and show our Saviour. Now, all I can do this morning is just to give you the kind of headlines. And you'll be loving me for this, and that's all I'm going to give you. But I give you these headlines. I give you these headlines in terms of inviting you into the certainty to get on board with God, to know what he wants to bless you with and encourage you with and allow you to be going through with, so that you can grow and mature as a believer in him. I give you that with this statement that you can take away and apply. That God doesn't promise a smooth journey. Noah was on that ark. The waves were up. The wind was up. I doubt if it was a smooth journey. I mean, we went to Ireland on a flat-bottom boat. Kathy was nearly seasick just going across to Ireland, the North, you know, flat bottom. This was not a smooth journey, but God doesn't promise us a smooth journey. What does he promise us? A safe landing. So here's the certainty that I hope you can respond to this morning. Very quickly, I'll just give you the headlines. The ark was governed by the purpose of God. Notice in Genesis 6 it says, God said to Noah, make yourself an ark. So the ark was not Noah's idea. It was God's idea. And if God had not spoken his word to Noah, he would have perished along with the rest of the world. And yet in verse 8 of Genesis 6, you read the most wonderful thing that you can read in the whole of God's word. Noah found favor, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Isn't that marvelous? I think that's marvelous. And I invite you to certainty to get on board with God, because you and I in Christ have found favor, the eyes of the Lord. You know, it wasn't to save himself that Noah built the ark. It was because he was already saved that he built the ark. Well, I'm inviting you to go and try and do anything to impress God this morning. I'm just simply inviting you to come and receive his life, his forgiveness, so that then you can use what God's going to bless you with in terms of his life to be a blessing to others. The ark was governed by the purpose of God. Do you know in your life that what you do and what you're about is governed by the purpose of God? Then the ark was graced by the presence of God. We're told, then the Lord said to Noah, when it was built, took 120 years to build it. So if you think some messages are long, he was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years. Preacher of righteousness, I love that, don't you? Sharing God's best. He wasn't out there, I don't think, with a placard, you know, the end of the world is nigh. Yeah, come and get on board with God's best. Preacher of God's righteousness. And there's that lovely phrase, I put it in white and underlined it, because this is the invitation, come into the ark. Wasn't a command to go, it was an invitation to come, because God was not on the outside saying, you go in and I'll watch you. God was already on the inside saying, you come on in and I'll be with you. And when we're in the presence of God and he's on board with us, because God was in Christ reconciling himself to us, and so that if God was in Christ and we know Christ as our Lord and Savior, God is in us, amen? You know, what is he doing it for? So that he can make his presence felt and impact us. And when God's on board our lives, the journey may not be smooth, but the landing is sure to be safe. And we've got no danger of ever thinking we're going to sink. Wasn't that the lesson of Jesus in the boat with his disciples when the storm came up? The waves got bigger and Jesus was sleeping. And they had to wake him up because they were fearful of their life. When Jesus is on board, when Jesus is in your life, there's no danger of you sinking. Now, I know that some of you feel that you're in a flood situation at the moment in your life. Maybe you've had a few extra bills that have come in and you think, how am I going to pay it? Maybe you're struggling with a relationship that you don't want to lose and you think, how can I put it right? Maybe you failed something that you would have wanted to pass and it feels like your career opportunities are now going to come to a finish. Maybe you've lost somebody through bereavement. I don't know. Maybe you're in a flood situation. I invite you to certainty. To get on board with the Lord and to know that he is on board with you. The ark was graced by the presence of God. There's nothing that you're going through that he's not able to handle. Isn't that wonderful to know? I think it's beautiful. I think it's beautiful. And then there's one other thing as we close this morning. And you can imagine there was a lot more that I'd love to say. But I know that you'll seek God's forgiveness that I've kept it this short and secretly be thinking, thank you, Lord. The last thing is this, the ark was guarded by the power of God. I love the fact that the Bible says then God shut him in. You get that? God shut him in. Do you know what that means? That means, and you probably have heard this, I probably shared it with you before, but to me it's a continual blessing in my life that though Noah could have fallen down in the ark, could have messed up in the ark, he could have whinged and whined in the ark, couldn't he? Lord, do you know how long it takes me to clean up this mess each day? He could have done all that in the ark, couldn't he? Fallen down, you know, had a bad attitude, you know. Spotted all the things that weren't in the ark that he would have loved to have been in the ark. Because some of us have that kind of vision, don't we? We're very good at seeing what's not there. We can't see what God has put right in front of us as a blessing. Although he could have fallen down in the ark, the truth of this is that we're guarded by God's power, he could never, ever have fallen out of the ark. Amen? That is the certainty I invite you to in the Lord Jesus. Not just that you come to him so that he can save you from that day of reckoning when the flood of God's judgment will come and those outside of Christ are going to be condemned. No. So that you can know that forgiveness and then get on to live in the fullness of the very life that he wants to land you on your particular mountain to enjoy. Oh, it's hard sometimes, isn't it, to be in the ark You know, to go through what we're going through, oh, the journey's tough. However tough it is, if you're in Christ, you are secure. None can snatch them from my hand, said Jesus. And I think that's a beautiful thing. So I invite you this morning, okay, to certainty. Are you certain that your sins are forgiven? Well, if you've come to Christ, you can be absolutely certain as Noah was, because as that ark saved Noah, Jesus Christ is your ark of salvation, and he's here to save you. Are you secure in that? Then start to live in the security of it. And know that he just not saved you so you can have your sins forgiven. He's forgiven your sins so you can live in the fullness of the blessing of his very resurrection life in you. Wherever you happen to land. For Noah, it was on Mount Ararat. I hope you don't crash into a mountain this week. But wherever you land, when you get home or tomorrow, the journey feels tough and the storm feels great. Remember the takeaway thought, if nothing else. God doesn't promise us a smooth journey. God promises us what? A safe land. Let's pray. Father, what a miracle of grace you are. Thank you that like Noah, we have found favor in your eyes. Lord, I can't take it in. But I thank you for it. And I pray for my brothers and sisters here and the friends of this church, Lord, that they will know that invitation to certainty. You're not inviting them to go anywhere where you're not already there to supply them, support them, and strengthen them. May we respond this morning as you give us the faith to believe you with. Just as Noah's faith allowed him to build that ark, became a testimony of what's possible when we take you at your word, believe you for what you promise, and start to live in the joy and the hope of seeing it fulfilled. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.